Epiphany Sunday is where we remember and celebrate the visit of the Magi to the baby Jesus. Now, the Magi are commonly known as the wise men or the three kings, and there may very well have been a lot more than three. Some sources put the number at 12, and other sources say there could have been a lot more than 12. The Bible doesn't give the number. So as I read and listened to the passages that we're looking at tonight, one thing really struck me, and it was the presence of the Christmas star, the star guiding the Magi. The significance of light in that story and the significance of light in our faith. It really struck me. So we're all part of creation, the created world. And creation, God's creation, ensures that half the planet is always bathed in light. As one half falls into night, the other half has day. Even when we're in nighttime, we're still provided with some daylight reflected from the moon. Light helps us to find our way around. You see, light helps us with direction. It keeps us safe. So for Christmas, as part of our celebration, we add extra lights in the form of decorations. Some of us will have flashing lights, colored lights. There'll be lights in different shapes on our street. And of course, at the time of Jesus' birth, there was an extra light, a supernatural light. A star appeared, the Christmas star. And the light of that star directly leads the Magi somewhere. So the Magi know that a king is to be born. A child is to be born who will be the king. And they want to pay him homage. And they know that there's something mysterious about this star they are following. They know it's not a normal star. It's active. It's not sitting up high and tiny in the night sky, as you might imagine. It actively draws the Magi to a specific place. It leads them to a specific house where Jesus is. That's how precise it is. So what was this star? Over the years, there's been many suggestions to explain this star from an astronomical perspective. But science has now mostly either proved them to be inaccurate or shown them to be implausible. So I find the most compelling explanation simply to be that it was the glory of the Lord shining. The same glory that shone around the shepherds when Jesus' birth was announced to them by the angel. Throughout the Old Testament, we are told of God's glory being manifested as light. When God led the Israelites through the wilderness, he went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. And he went by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel either by day or night. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai to the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. And after Moses had spoken with the Lord and returned with the Ten Commandments, his face was so radiant, because he had been in the presence of the Lord, that Aaron and the other Israelites were afraid to come near him. So I believe that this light, this star, was the glory of the Lord, or another sign put there supernaturally by God for the Magi. Hundreds of years before Christ was born, it is recorded in the Old Testament that the prophet Balaam prophesied about that star. The Old Testament indicates that the extraordinary star, when it appears, points towards the coming king, points towards the Messiah. And in today's Old Testament passage of Isaiah 60, we have these words: "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." We also read that the nations will come to the light and that our hearts will be overcome with joy. And in verse 6, we have all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. These events were predicted many hundreds of years before Christ was born. And Matthew, the author of the gospel reading, we heard, wants to make sure that the people don't miss the connection between the light prophesied and the light appearing over Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus Christ. He is someone who knew the scriptures very well, and he's making sure that we don't miss it. He's drawing our attention to these prophesies. The gospel of Jesus, the gospels that we read and learn and study and celebrate, this good news, the good news is that this Christmas, this year, for the rest of our lives, and if you're a Christian believer, that means for all eternity, we can expect God to be active in our lives. God's light leads us. The light that the Magi followed still leads us today. God's light guides us away from death and guides us towards eternal life. It guides us, shows us where we need to be, where we need to go. It is an active light. It is a transforming light. And anyone who follows the path towards God will be transformed. They will be transformed because they will be fulfilling the very purpose intended for them at the time of creation, long before they were born. The Magi, the wise men, they find the only way to experience God's light is through the path of humility, not through power. It's countercultural to our society today. It was countercultural back then at the time. But it's through humility you find God, not through power. They first followed the light through the grand capital of Jerusalem. But they had to continue, so they followed the light to a humble house in a small town or village several miles away from the capital called Bethlehem. And as they enter the house that they were told to go to by the star, they come into the presence of the infant Jesus Christ. And they are overjoyed. They are overwhelmed with joy. And they rejoice. They found the Prince of Peace. They thought, here is the King. Here's the one they've been longing for. Here is the Christ child. The humble king, a young boy, someone very counterculturally, not born into royalty, but to Mary and Joseph, not born in a grand palace in an important city, but born in a humble town or village. The Magi see the humility, they see the beauty, and they are overwhelmed with joy. Their act of devotion at that time, their devotion to the child that was Jesus, the act of following the light to Jesus and bringing their valuable gifts, that act continues to shine through over 2,000 years of history to today. And if we follow God's path for us, if we follow God's light to where it is leading us, we will be transformed. I'm sure the Magi's were transformed by their experience. Some of the non-biblical accounts from that time put the Magi spreading the news of Jesus' birth across Persia from where they came. Other accounts have made them bishops in the early church. I don't know if any of those accounts are true or what really happened, but I do know that an encounter with Jesus Christ can only be transforming. So do not give up. Do not give up hope. Keep seeking the path that God has laid out for you. Keep following like the Magi did. You may not know exactly where you're going or what you'll find or where you'll end up. But like the Magi, you know it when you find it. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. I was really struck by that passage. As Christians, we are to be light in the darkness. We are to become lights. We need to be true to our calling as Christians. And when we are, God's light will be reflected in us and shine through us. And if you're not sure what it means to be that light, let's just take a quick look back two chapters earlier in Isaiah, chapter 58. So the context of what I'm going to read to you is that the writing is to those who are outwardly religious and while saying and appearing to be devout, actually behave in a very different way, in ways contrary to what is good and proper. This particular passage I'm going to read focuses on public displays of fasting as a sign of one's religious credentials. And it demonstrates that what we should be doing instead of using fasting merely to make oneself look good in the eyes of others. So if you indulge me, let's read it. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteous one will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of the finger and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. That's what it means to become lights. It means to let the love of Christ so flow through us as we express our adoration to him, that as we come with our gifts, we say, "Take these gifts. Take our skills and use them." We say, "Take all that I am. Use me, Lord." And when we do that, when we allow him in, he transforms us to be light. To be lights that shine brightly, no matter what else is happening around us. The amazing thing about God's light is that it multiplies as we share it. Unlike most things that are shared between people, God's light doesn't get reduced. It doesn't get smaller. It doesn't weaken. It grows and it multiplies. And when your light shines and you give it out to others, the light magnifies, the love magnifies, and it burns brightly. Other people's hearts then begin to glow. And they start to commit to the Lord, and they too become radiant with God's light. God's light multiplies all over the place. In this church, we have this picture. There it is, just up on the wall there. This picture is of light shining from this church. Our logo has light coming out of it. It's not just merely a nice image that we're trying to convey. It's not merely part of our branding that we have these pictures and logos. It represents part of what it means to be a Christian. Acts of worship create light that shines out and reflects off those around us. This service this evening, as we gather to worship God, to learn more about God. Hopefully that as we leave this service tonight, we will feel enthused, inspired. Hopefully you'll feel encouraged, strengthened. And as we leave, we're sent out to radiate God's light to all around us. Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So whether it is on your way home tonight, in the shops tomorrow, at work, if you bump into someone on the street, whenever it is, whoever it's with, remember the Christmas star. Remember the light shining to lead people to Jesus. Remember the glory of the Lord. Remember when Moses, who met the Lord, and his face visibly radiated light. So as we leave here and go about our lives, let God's light reflect off you. Let God's light shine through you. Arise and become lights. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for all of us here. There's nothing we've done, nothing we are, that can prevent that light from touching our lives. Let us feel your light. Let us see your light. We will follow your light. We will seek you and follow the path you have laid out for us. Help us to do those things. Let us radiate your light to others, and let us become lights, radiating your light and love to all around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Chris. Let's hold a few moments silence and press into the presence of God and rest on all that we've just heard Chris share.